Introducing your hosts with wit beyond measure, Michael, loyal and just, Haley, ambitious and cunning, Shelby, daring and chivalrous, Savannah. Welcome to Hold My Butterbeer, a podcast about all things Wizarding World canon.
So tonight we're talking about Wizarding sports and games. Is everyone feeling sporty?
Yeah.
Woo!
Go team.
Sports teams.
Sports. Win the
sports.
So many sports.
Do either of y'all like actually participate in like sports viewings?
So we started a number of years ago by hosting a commercial bingo Super Bowl party because
of course you did.
We went to too many parties where like people were yelling and they're mad and like a shoe went through a TV once and I was like, we're never going again.
What?
So yeah, so we host a commercial bingo Super Bowl party where we only watch the commercials and like have bingo cards and weird food and it's like fun.
That sounds like a dream. Why does everything you do just sound like way more fun than humanly possible?
I think that's not true. Do you guys do sports viewings at all?
Never.
I watched the gymnastics.
Oh, I meant to
Yeah, the Olympics is the one exception. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a big one. The Olympics is a big one.
Yeah, I do get into the Olympics. I like feel very sporty for like rarely ever the winter ones, just the summer ones. So like every 4 years, I'll pretend like I'm sporty and then I'll be done.
I'm like very into a figure skating. I'm very into a synchronized swimming. Like anything that's really bizarre, I'm here for that.
Same, yeah.
And I used to not appreciate curling, but me and Adam went curling last year, and that is really hard. And I have a new appreciation for it that I never knew I needed because it is a challenge.
It sounds like a very witchy sport. Like you're using a broom to do like magnets or whatever. I don't know.
Rocks.
Yeah, like rocks. Just yeah, big rocks and brooms.
Oh, the rocks.
It's actually very witchy now that I think about it.
Super witchy. It's the most witchy winter sport there is.
It doesn't even have to be wizardified. It's like already a wizarding sport.
Yeah, and they drink a lot when they do it. So that's also why I'm really into it. It's a very tipsy wizard sport.
I don't know if I love the idea of drinking and sporting. That sounds so, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it's not great. Like they take shots before they start. And I was like, it is 11 a.m. And listen, I'm here to party, but like not like that.
No, thank you.
Well, I mean, that's how I usually end up like climbing walls and parkouring. So I get it.
Yeah, but you're not on ice, Haley. Like on an ice rink, it's not cute.
I'm like, I
Haley's
do it.
Like, yeah, right.
I mean, I'm about it, but
I don't know. It was dangerous. It was fun though. But see, Haley, you're into parkouring, so that's also a sport.
Yeah, but I'm the only one playing, and I play with danger.
But I also feel like I'm into that because I don't like games where I am gonna lose. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I like solo sports that are just me doing my own thing.
Yeah, I'm into that. Every time we have like a sports anything, I always wear a Quidditch jersey. So I mean, I'm into regular sports where people are like, oh, we're gonna have a sports day like at work when they're like spirit week sports and everyone has their real team, like I don't know whatever that means, like basketball and the other balls, and I get to wear Quidditch things, so like I'm here for that.
We're here for the aesthetics of sports, but we're not here for like actually participating.
Same. I love a sporty look. I used to watch football, and that like didn't turn out well. I ended up getting like way too stressed out over it, so I gave up.
Who was your team?
The Ravens.
Obviously. Duh.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was doing some research for this episode, I kept being really excited that I found something. And then I went into the document and Michael had already put it there because he's so good. So, Michael, do you want to kick off some things that you have?
Sure. So we've got lots to talk about. So there's a lot of magical games and sports in the Wizarding World. And so there's a whole department at the Ministry of Magic for magical games and sports. And they just pretty much do all the regulation, the organization, and they fine people for messing up. Like all the way back to our first episode where we talked about like Savannah, you really wanting to know whether there are rec leagues, like community rec leagues. And we found out by rereading Quidditch Through the Ages that there aren't any.
Bummer.
Yeah. Really the only way to play is to be on a professional team because the pitches, like the practice pitches, are really carefully concealed. They're really far away from muggles. They're like all kinds of regulations. regulations and rules, because it used to be that people would just play Quidditch like out in their backyards and the Muggles would catch on, and they had to like secret it away. So yeah, I guess like what Ron and Harry and Fred and George do back behind the Weasley's house is okay, but as far as like going
I was just
going
to say that. I was like, but they play in for funsies, but I guess the house must also be under some whatever.
Yeah, their house is super secure.
But as far as like a group of adult wizarding friends, like meeting up to go play Quidditch, apparently that doesn't really happen, which is kind of unfortunate.
I can't get behind the thought that they don't have like an indoor arena of some kind that they like rent out and secure for funsies. Like, I just can't believe that. I'm sure there's a few illegal rec leagues.
That would have to be an exceptionally tall indoor arena.
Because with fly low, I don't know.
With like Muggle sports, you're kind of restricted to the ground. But if you're playing on brooms, that's a three-dimensional field, really.
I guess you're right. I don't know. I'm just really bummed about it.
Like all those abandoned like Olympic villages that they would have to make. Like I could see that becoming like, I just imagine like those haunted theme parks where they become like secret like wizard theme parks or secret wizard like practice arenas.
Yeah, they're meant to look like ruins from the outside, but then like you step inside and it's all up to date and well cared for.
Could totally work.
I love that. Headcanon accepted.
So today's the only episode people of what we added to headcanon.
So the only people we know that have worked at Department of Magical Games and Sports are Ludo Bagman and Bertha Jorkins. Neither of them turned out all that well. Ludo was embezzling money and Bertha got murdered. So I don't know if it's the best department to work for, but they also work to organize the Triwizard Tournament, the Quidditch World Cup, and all that stuff. So it's a pretty big responsibility. I don't know. It could be fun to work for that department if you were into sports. So also the warning sign. Signs in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, like all of the signs that say like do not ride this ride if you're pregnant or experience dizziness or whatever, at the bottom of all those posters it says like this information is provided by the Department of Magical Games and Sports, so it's kind of like in theme, even in the theme parks, that the department takes care of all that stuff.
So fun.
So delightful.
So that leads more to think that all those abandoned theme parks must be regulated by the Magical Games and Sports.
Exactly, Haley.
Hit cannon, continue.
Yeah, we need to find about how many abandoned theme parks there are in the UK and then start spinning some theories about what goes on in there.
Yeah.
So Quidditch, I guess we just have to start the conversation there, because Quidditch is the most popular sport in the Wizarding World, and that it seems to be worldwide. It's not, I guess it's like soccer or football everywhere else in the world with like the World Cup and all that stuff, where pretty much every country, America's into it, but like I feel like other countries are way more into football, like European football, than Americans are. That might just be my bias, though.
No, I agree with that. I feel like we're not into soccer the way that the rest of the world is, but we're very into American football, which is like weird. Yeah.
But that no one else plays. And so you can read Quidditch through the ages, and so we're not going to go through like the whole book, but there were quite a few early iterations of Quidditch, and some of these games are still played. So Haley, I feel like this would be one of your favorites. So the first kind of version of Quidditch that existed was Shunt Bumps. And so Shunt Bumps is a game played by children, and pretty much the whole point is just to knock each other off your broom.
Oh yeah,
that's the whole premise.
It's like bumper cars.
So you just like fly at each other and attempt to knock each other off your broom. That's the whole game, and the last person standing wins, or flying wins.
Nice.
The next one was Swiven Hodge. And so with that game, players sit backwards on their brooms. So, okay, backwards on their brooms, and use the twig end to smack around an inflated bladder, because, you know, I love a good inflated bladder.
Yeah, everyone.
And then,
yes.
And points are given to the other team for a miss. So you do whatever you can to make the other team miss so that you can get points.
So do you fly backwards on that in that game?
I don't know. It sounds really confusing. It seems like yes, or you just have to like have your setting in reverse or
so
something.
So far, Shunt Bumps is higher on my list than Swiven Hodge. I'm not.
And Swiven Hodge.
Yeah, I'm not in Swiven Hodge.
So apparently the bladder was like an early version of the Quaffle. So that was kind of where that came from. The next one, which I don't really know how to pronounce, but I'm going to give it my best shot, but y'all can correct me, is Crayothecian.
That's how I would pronounce it.
So this is a game that was played by wizards on brooms, where hundreds of falling rocks and boulders would be like levitated up into the air and then dropped. The wizards playing would have cauldrons strapped to their heads, and they would have to catch as many rocks as they could in their cauldrons.
This game is dumb.
It's my favorite.
Let's not beat around the bush here.
And because of the number of fatalities, it eventually led to it being banned in 1762.
So exactly. It's no longer played. It is dumb.
But one of my favorite things about that is that in Quidditch Through the Ages, they mention that even though it's banned, people still play it.
Of course.
So stupid. Why is it called that? Why wasn't it called Concussion? Because that's the name that it should be called.
Oh my gosh. That is... Maybe that name translates to concussion. Who knows?
Maybe.
That's not a good game. What?
Maybe Michael just doesn't know how to pronounce the word concussion.
Just kidding. Maybe I have a concussion because I've been playing too much Crayothecian.
You know all the like the wizard YouTubers are like totally doing that. Like, hey man, you know what I can do? La, 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 whatever this game's called.
Oh, you know, it's on Wizard TikTok.
It's a challenge. The next one, which actually sounds kind of interesting, is Stitch Stock, which is a game where the tips of your brooms are sharpened into points, so they're like lances.
Oh, Lord.
There's another inflated bladder on a big stick, and so the bladder's up there. A wizard guards the bladder from all the players. It's not just, it's like 1 versus 10 or 20. And so the person defending is tied by the waist to a 10-foot rope, and they have to defend the bladder, and they can use their wand. So they can do anything possible.
Why are they on a rope?
So they can't go too far from the bladder.
Oh, okay. Stitch Stock also sounds like not a fun game.
And so you could definitely get just stabbed to death by brooms flying at you, but you can use your wand. So you can like blast people out of the air using your wand. And apparently this was the early version of the Keeper.
Can we just take a second to like question the fact that J.K. Rowling not only thought of all these, but wrote them down and published it in a book? Like, why?
Do you think that all of these were her like attempt at Quidditch, and she was like, no, that one kind of sucks, let's just leave that as an early version?
I think in this area it was like where did the idea from a quaffle came from? Okay, so I have to come up with a whole weird game to bring in the quaffle. Okay, now the bludger. Okay, so there's this game where people would have rocks hurled at them. Okay, how would that work? And then the Keeper, and it just kept going. And
yeah,
it's just
all
ridiculous.
I was gonna say, all of this rolled into one is Quidditch. Like, this is all like
exactly.
Parts of it. Yeah.
And then they used to do snitch hunts. And the snitch, you have to go into the woods and catch a snitch. But they became so endangered from getting killed.
Isn't it a snidget?
Poor snidget birds.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, a snidget, a golden snidget. Yeah.
Sorry, I did not mean to correct you, Michael.
No, I was wrong. You were right to correct me. So we were talking about the Department of Magical Games and Sports. We have confirmation from the Daily Prophet newsletter, the 1998 paper Daily Prophet newsletter that nobody has anymore because it was paper and doesn't exist. But invisibility charms were placed on local Quidditch pitches. And there was a thing that was saying that spectators have to collect re-visibility spectacles in order to find the pitch. So they wore special glasses to be able to find the Quidditch pitch.
That seems dangerous. What if you get real rowdy and drunk and lose the spectacles and muggles find them? This seems like a bad plan.
Yeah. So that was one idea. Then we know that at like the Quidditch World Cup, there were charms placed around Quidditch pitches, that would make muggles remember important appointments and turn around, or they would just see like a dangerous place and avoid it or make it unplottable. So those are all things that the department has to keep track of.
That's wild.
I hate to backtrack, but in the 1800s, they did use pig bladders in muggle sports. Like that's where the first rugby ball came from. It was like a stitched up pig's bladder.
That's disgusting.
I know.
Sports are so weird.
nothing is original. Everything comes from something. Please throw this pig bladder in your next sport.
Ew. Gross.
The department's also responsible for organizing the Quidditch World Cup, which has been held every 4 years since 1473.
So this is basically the Wizarding Olympics.
Right.
I wish that they had more things, like it was a lot of different things for the World Cup every year, because I would like 15 different wizard sports for the Olympics and not just one. But like, it's fine, I guess.
If they had like more popular sports and everything, then maybe they would. But it just seems like Quidditch dominates,
I guess.
The World Cup's always in like secure locations, like we talked about earlier, which is a huge task to organize for the host country. That one that's in the 2014 Pottermore article that Joe went out, which was the 427th World Cup, was in Argentina, and it was like out in the middle of the desert. And so like the one that we saw in Goblet of Fire, the Quidditch World Cup in there that Harry and the Weasleys went to, that was just the final. So the Quidditch World Cup actually goes on for weeks and weeks. There's weeks of preliminaries and eliminating different teams as they go up against each other. So it actually lasts a lot longer than just like the one day that we saw in the book.
I thought that it was just one. I didn't realize that it like went on and on and on.
Have any of y'all have family that have like been into like the regular World Cup that we have? Because that's what it sounds like to me, like a lot. And I know it's probably like my American showing because I've never been into it, but like it seems very, very derivative.
It reminds me a lot of March Madness. And I feel like that's very American. That it just takes forever and there's brackets. I love to imagine that there's like wizards sitting in tents, like sharing butterbeer and going over their brackets and picking their like fantasy Quidditch teams.
Oh, that's yes. That would absolutely be a thing.
Fantasy Quidditch. Like, isn't that like two levels of fantasy? Right. Like,
I would like fantasy Quidditch. Can we make that a thing?
I'm sure it is a thing. I'd be surprised if there wasn't actually like a fantasy Quidditch league thing going on right now.
Well, I feel like it would absolutely go on for the intramural Quidditch teams, like the real world Quidditch that exists at all. Like they have the Quidditch World Cup every year held in different parts of the country. And so I definitely think that those tournaments would have like bracket predictors.
Yeah, but I'm talking like globally. Like I want us all to be able to go on Pottermore and like them, I don't know, have some kind of thing that we all can play.
I don't believe the 2014 article is on wizardingworld.com. I might be wrong, but I think it's not there anymore.
Well, and yeah, there would have been one in 2018, so we're already behind, but it's okay, I guess.
I was gonna say, where do we get our coverage on that?
From my printouts.
Yeah, who's reporting? Michael.
Because I have all of them printed out.
Michael, we need reporting on this stat.
I recently listened to, you can listen to Quidditch Through the Ages. They have it like the recordings and everything on YouTube, and that's where I got all of the 2014 World Cup information and everything. And I really like the girl that reads for Ginny Weasley. That's a lot of fun. She's good. Has anyone else
that
listened to
no
it?
I didn't know about
the audiobook version. Yeah, it's great. Got like the Ginny Weasley and Rita Skeeter like voice actresses, and they're great.
I love that.
Oh, I had no idea.
Because I never bothered to read it. I knew that it was there and I had skimmed it. Listening to it was a lot more entertaining because it felt more like a sports broadcast, which I'm into. I'm into a sports broadcast.
Honestly, I only skimmed Quidditch Through the Ages too because I thought it was so boring.
Oh, man. I'm sorry you were bored.
I reread it within the year and I enjoyed it more now than I did when it first came out.
I think I'd enjoy it more as an audiobook than just reading it.
Yeah, it sounds That's more true. Like, well, I don't know if your parents were like into sports or anything, but I remember when I was little and my mom and I would like run errands on Sundays, and if we were out and about, she would make sure that like whatever our local radio station was on so she could like hear what was happening in the Ravens game. So like it makes me think of that because it's just like a regular broadcast and, you know, like sports commentary and whatever. But there's no ads.
That's really sweet though.
I think that's why I never got into sports, because the only like sport that my family got into was NASCAR, and talk about a boring sport. Really, the cars driving in circles. Like, oh, hope someone crashes. Yay. Oh no, they're really hurt. Like, what?
I took the time to see if that the Quidditch World Cup articles are on wizardingworld.com, and they are not. All they did when they imported the Pottermore articles, which is a few things you might not know about Quidditch, they imported it directly from Pottermore, and it was posted on April 16th, 2019, and there is a link to take a look at our enhanced version of the 2014 Quidditch World Cup right here. You click on that, and it takes you to a broken page.
Wow.
So
that's hilarious. They
didn't bother to check the hyperlinks of all of their articles. So I did want to mention one other tidbit, like just a Quidditch World Cup tidbit. So in 1877, there was the tournament that nobody remembers. So despite all of the infrastructure being in place, tickets being purchased and sold, and merchandise produced, no one can remember attending any of the matches that year. It's just like it was just something happened where everyone in attendance had their memories wiped. So we don't really know what happened that year. I thought that was a fun little random side story.
Michael, what do you think happened?
I think some shady stuff went down where somebody didn't like the or what was it? Like, I just remembered a Fantastic Beasts, the Thunderbird thing, like some swooping evil juice got shot into some clouds. And that was the first instance of that happening. That's why Newt tried it on New York.
That's why he knew it.
Yeah. That's what it was. That's my theory now. Swooping evil juice, Thunderbird, magic. That's what it was.
Perfect. Love it.
So English beater Lucas Bargeworthy was missing half his teeth. Canadian seeker Angelus Peel's knees were on backwards. And half the Argentinian team were found tied up in the basement of a bar in Cardiff. So I guess it happened in the UK.
No, theories on the location, it says, was in the Rin Desert of Kazakhstan.
Okay.
So that's a far off way to be.
That's really far.
Ooh, so some shady shit went down.
Most definitely.
That's really cool. A huge conspiracy.
Yeah.
I love it. So that's all about the Quidditch World Cup. Did anyone ever play the Quidditch World Cup video game?
I did not.
I didn't either. I hear that people like really, really liked it. It was like on GameCube and a couple like PS2 and a couple other systems like back in the day. So that'd be a fun like fifth level canon to try out.
I think the best Harry Potter games were on the PS2.
Oh, I only played on PC, like of the Chamber Secrets and the Sorcerer's Stone game. Oh, those are my favorites. I feel like this comes up a lot.
Well, so, Haley, you probably remember from the Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets video game. Do you know about the headless bowling?
Headless bowling?
I'm pretty sure that it was in that one.
Okay, that I believe you, but I just don't remember it. I'm sure it was.
The PS2 version of the game was different than the PC version. It was like a totally different game.
Ooh, okay.
Now I need to play the PS2 version.
Yeah.
So headless bowling is just kind of a variation of like 10-pin bowling, which is, you know, one of Albus Dumbledore's favorite things, according to his chocolate frog card. But the only difference with headless bowling and 10-pin is that the player bowls using a ghost's head rather than an ordinary bowling ball. And so again, that was in one of the Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets video games, but we're not sure if it was in the PC game or like the PlayStation game.
I love it regardless.
I love it too.
That's so fun.
And that goes along with the Headless Hunt polo game that was like in the book series.
Yeah, those were all sports. Headless polo, and what was the other? There were two, I think, that they excluded Nick. Like, well, you couldn't do these super awesome headless games with us, so I guess you can't join. Sorry.
That's so rude.
I hate when people are gatekeepy in sports.
I mean, I get it, though. It's really bummer, but, like, I get that you can't play a game with your head if it doesn't come off.
They could have said it in a nicer way. They were kind of
That's sad. True. It's different than being a jerk about it. That's fair.
It was their attitude.
Can we move on to our favorite American alternative from Quidditch?
Yes, oh my God, please. Yes.
So let's talk about Quad Pot.
I think Savannah should talk about it.
No, I'm so excited. I love it so much.
I think that Joe was probably going along the same lines of like, Americans have this weird alternative. Like, we don't really, we're not super into soccer. I mean, there certainly are pockets that are, but like American football, I think, just has the biggest staying power in America. And so Americans have a weird alternate version of Quidditch called Quad Pot, which was created by American wizard Abraham Peasgood. He was bringing a quaffle across the Atlantic Ocean to introduce America to Quidditch. But the quaffle came in contact with his wand, which was in his case, and when he brought it out to play, it exploded. Everyone liked it so much and thought it was awesome that they decided to make a whole game around it. There's 11 players on each side, and the ball is called the quad, and each team tries to get the quad into a cauldron filled with a special potion that keeps it from exploding before it explodes. If it explodes while it's in your possession, then that player has to leave the field, and it pretty much just keeps going until one team is remaining.
So I can't say, when I first heard about this game, I was not super thrilled. But Shelby was like, this is the coolest thing that I've ever heard, and I love it. And now it has since grown on me so much, and I also love it.
Why do you like it so much?
Because, of course, Americans have an exploding ball that, like, it's just so funny to me because it's so American. Like, of course, we have to have our own game that has an exploding component to it. It's, like, just all so silly.
Yeah. It's absurd, and it's dangerous, and it's just a good time. Like, when you really get into the mechanics of it, I kind of feel like Quidditch is a little bit more like soccer, but then Quad Pot is a little bit more like basketball, but combined with dodgeball, in the sense of, like, if you're hit, you're out.
Yeah.
But there's very, like, basketball-y aspects to it. I think that, like, traveling, there's something about, like, God, I could be wrong on this, but I thought when we talked about it once before that there's kind of an aspect in it that you can kind of compare to, like, traveling in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, do you enjoy Quad Pot?
I think that I like that it's American. I mean, I am not a sports person. Even as a wizard,
Shocking, Michael.
I know. Even as a wizard, I don't think I'd be super into this. I think that, I mean, like, it's like that, going back to that danger in everything conversation from our early episodes with, like, why would you do this to yourself? Why would you play a game where the ball could literally explode in your face and then, like, you don't get to play anymore? Like, you have to, like...
See, that was my initial reaction to it. That's exactly how I felt. And then me and Shelby had talked about it more and more and more. And I was like, oh my God, I love this dumb game so much. because it's just so silly. Like, it's so silly.
It's the ultimate thrill.
Yeah.
Are we done with Quad Pot?
No.
Yeah.
The next kind of sporting event we have would be the Triwizard Tournament. And that's supposed to be held every 5 years. It's between Hogwarts, Beauxbatons, and Durmstrang. But again, due to increased fatalities, the tournament was discontinued in the 1790s. So when was So Creotheocian, whatever we pronounce that, was also banned in 1762.
They must have had a reform, like, then.
It sounds like in the late 1700s, wizards were like, we should literally stop doing this. People are dying.
They achieved some sort of self-awareness.
We should probably reevaluate how we're living.
We're all going to die out real soon from these dumbass games.
Oh, that's so true, though. Like, wizards would probably die out because, like, something like dumb their genetics. Yeah. Like, they really have to worry about this. It's like, wait, let's get some more wizards in our community first, and then we'll go back to our super dangerous games again, especially the ones that involve children.
How upsetting, like, population decline of the wizarding world simply because sports, because things got too intense.
This is like, this is getting real, but you know that's true.
Yeah, it's very true.
Wizard decline because sports. Wizards, take care of yourself.
I'm pulling up another Pottermore article here because we do have a list of who all the ministers for magic were through the late 1700s. There were quite a few different ones. So I'm seeing if any of them...
I'm just really hoping it's a lady that was like, yo.
Hephaestus Gore was 1752 through 1770.
Wait, what? He just said, I hope it's the lady that was like, yo. And then Michael knew exactly what to say.
He was saying he wants to find out which minister for magic was like, okay, guys, enough is enough. And I was saying, I really hope it was a lady minister that was like, hey. like stop playing these dumb games, you're killing us all.
Like, it would have to be a madam that said, listen, children.
Yeah. I literally thought you said the lady. Like, you were talking about a specific woman, and I was like, who is she?
Haley's like, I don't know her.
I want to know who she is.
Artemisia Lufkin was minister, but that wasn't until 1798. She was the first female minister for magic. She'd established the Department of International Magical Cooperation and lobbied hard and successfully to have a Quidditch World Cup tournament held in Britain during her term. So that was after all of this stuff. And the guys that all came before them were all pretty corrupt. All influenced by pureblood stuff. One of them got sent to Azkaban. So none of them are great. But apparently some of them decided we should stop having these tournaments and things that are killing wizards everywhere.
I'm going to believe that she was like, I don't know, in the cabinet or something, or like the Senate of the magical whatever. Yeah,
working her way up.
Yeah, yeah. And she's the one that was like, yo, you guys are real dumb and dying, so we're going to put a little nix to that.
Artemisia, she was the one. She's a famous chocolate frog card, right?
I just got her for the first time last week.
Mm, she looks awesome.
She's getting credit for putting some rules on all of this.
What if it was a totally different situation? It wasn't like someone who's concerned about safety, but like some sort of like Henry VIII type minister who was like, my team keeps losing. No more sports.
You mean somebody was such a sore loser that they canceled all sports?
Sports canceled. Done. If I don't win, no one wins.
That's what would happen if I was minister.
It was Savannah all along.
It was me the whole time.
I was going to ask all of us, who here's competitive? Because I know that Savannah is, but I wanted her to elaborate.
You knew the answer.
Haley Burson. Earlier today, Haley declared herself the winner of a game and didn't follow 2/3 of the things she was supposed to do in the game and just jumped to the end.
See, but I'm very, like, I don't pay attention to the rules and I don't really care that much about the game. So I'm very good at manipulating everyone to make them believe that I won when really I may or may not have. And I most likely cheated.
We had already packed up the game before we determined that, hey, wait, you didn't follow these like 3 steps you were supposed to do. And she's like, oh, well.
I almost got away with it, too.
Well, that's where we differ, Haley, because I am somebody who follows every rule. And I'm like, oh, no, you can't do that because that's against these rules. I want to win and I want to win fair and square.
Oh, see, we're very opposite.
That's the Gryffindor in you. That's the honorable Gryffindor in you that
I guess
you don't want to win through subterfuge.
Yeah, no, I want it fair and square. Shelby, what example were you going to give?
Oh, of you and your competitiveness?
Yeah, because I'm very curious now.
I don't have any examples because I have purposefully avoided ever playing any games with you since you told me I'm an extremely competitive person.
Yeah, I don't play games well.
That's one of my things that I'm like, oh no, not me. I'm not a competitive person. And people who are competitive, my brain like can't compute that really. So I just don't know how to behave. So I just avoid it.
It's funny you say that because I avoid playing games where I know that I won't, because I'm also a sore winner. So I don't like playing games at all because I'm a sore loser and I'm a sore winner. So like, it's really not a win-win for anybody.
What is a sore winner?
If I win, I'm like, did you see me win? Because I just won. I'm not nice either, like on either end. So
that's Gryffindor pride there.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's true pride.
So can we move on to one of my favorite things to talk about this episode?
Yes, please.
Which is the Wizarding School's Potion Championship.
Oh, see, now that sounds like something you would love.
I'm so excited. Okay, so Wonder Book of Potions, which no one has ever played ever. Wonder Book of Potions came out in 2013 on the PS3. You had to have about 15 different components to be able to play the game, like a move controller and the eye controller and the camera and all this stuff. So you couldn't play it. But
please note that's not an exaggeration. You actually needed that many pieces to play.
Yeah, you needed the PS3, the Wonder Book component, the game itself, the controller, the camera. Those were all the pieces that you had to buy all of those things separately. Nobody played this game. It was not a very successful series. There was Wonder Book of Spells and Wonder Book of Potions. But in Wonder Book of Potions, there's this Wizarding School's Potion Championship that you're like part of. Like, that's the premise of the game. And so you're brewing potions throughout the game to kind of win this championship. So there's information about the championship, though, and about the competition, where it's supposed to be held every 7 years since 1407. I did the math, and the 85th contest would have been in 1995, and that's when Order of the Phoenix happened. So do we think that just Harry was so consumed with like all his nonsense that he totally missed the championship happening, or that it didn't happen that year?
Oh no, it definitely happened. He was not concerned. Yeah,
because it
he
was
just
a
did not participate
thing.
Yeah.
Snape did not mention it to him at all.
Potions have been over on Harry's radar, like, especially in the fifth book. That's when he was just like barely scraping by.
And like, they don't talk about Gobstones, like the club, either. Yeah. And that was going on. There was a lot going on that Harry was like, I'm too cool for this. Bye.
Mm-hmm. So I love this. I love that this was like happening the entire time anyway. The other piece that I really loved so much was that there were the other schools that were competing were mentioned in the game. And so other than Hogwarts, there is three other schools. This game came out in 2013. The Pottermore articles that came out with Harry Potter Celebration 2016 mentioned like the African, Japanese, and South American wizarding schools. But in this game, Montecuro and Ouagadou were mentioned.
Ooh,
so if people
really?
Had, and then the other one was Col do Vesorts. Oh gosh, I butchered that. Col do Vesorts is the Russian wizarding school. We're all mentioned in this game. If people had been paying attention in 2013, we would have already known that Japan, Africa, and Russia all have their own wizarding schools and what they were called. So that announcement, the big announcement in 2016, wouldn't have been quite as impactful for those who had played that game.
Wow.
Your mind's blown.
Good thing no one ever played that game.
To the seven people who already knew those schools.
Congratulations.
So 3 full years before the Pottermore articles came out, those schools had already been established. I think that's fantastic. I love it.
That's pretty cute.
The Russian school, the Col do Vesorts, or however you say it, mm-hmm. that wasn't even in that Pottermore article, was it?
It wasn't included in the release of those the different schools.
So is that the only mention is in the Book of
it
Spells?
It is the one and only mention.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Potion. And so, yeah, all the potion ingredients, everything in that game, that's all third level canon. And I have the printouts of that game. You can find transcripts of it on Reddit. So you can just have that and print it out. Some people have worked really hard and kind of turned it into like a potions textbook where all of the transcripts of the narrator's stories, which are all written by Joe, and then all of the potion and the potion ingredients, all of those are available online. So you don't actually have to play Wonder Book of Potions to get the information.
Thank you to that one person that wrote it all down.
I was completely prepared to do it myself.
Michael, didn't you do the transcripts?
I didn't do the transcripts. I found them on Reddit, blessedly. I was prepared to do it. I was going to record myself playing the game and then transcribe the game
from
my videos. So last thing I want to mention before we can finally move on from this is the prize for the contest is a golden cauldron. And it's held by the school that wins until the next tournament. So it's switched between those four schools every 7 years.
God, maybe Harry should have participated. He could have finally gotten that golden cauldron.
Aw, little throwback, yes.
Poor baby.
He had no idea what he was missing.
Let's see. So we know that there are cross-country broom races. That's another thing that wizards participate in. There's a couple of mentions that in some Pottermore articles, like around broom making and things like that. So just trying to make faster brooms. So they like go through the Alps or something. They'll have a broom race. I guess it's like cross-country running or cross-country biking.
I think it's like cross-country skiing, isn't it?
You just stand on the sideline and kind of watch the person whoosh by and like, okay, well, that was fun.
That sounds like a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people do that all the time.
No, not me. Mm-hmm.
No. I'm good.
And the Daily Prophet news articles that we talked about, the newsletter, the 1998 newsletter, that if anyone has a scan of it, send it to holdmybutterbeerpod@gmail.com. There's an annual international wizarding gardening competition, which has caused a lot of problems because of the contorting cereals category, which Muggles notice as crop circles.
What?
I love this whole concept. Let me just say that to start. I want to know, I want pictures of wizard gardens, because to me, this just sounds like everything's moving. There's tons of stuff. I'm really into this.
Me too.
So this whole time that I've been afraid of aliens and crop circles, it's really just wizards that are responsible for...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
I feel safer.
The wizards are looking after. So this is just another great tie-in that just kind of thinking about that real world stuff and then making it wizardy. It's like, so how do I explain crop circles? Oh yeah, it's the International Wizarding Gardening Competition, and the Muggles are noticing. But yeah, Savannah, like you were saying, it's like it'd be so cool. Like I just think back to like Downton Abbey, where they have like the rose competition, like who has the most beautiful bloom for this. It'd be like, who has the biggest venomous tentacula?
Yeah, I think it would be so fun to just see what they came up with, because I'm sure that whatever my imagination comes up with is not even close to like the most crazy thing that's possible.
And dirigible plums, like it'd be so cool. Gravity resistant trees, didn't we find out about those? It'd be awesome. So getting into some games that wizards play, so wizard chess is the first that comes to mind. The whole system of that, like how they develop personalities, is very interesting. Like how Harry borrowed Percy's set and it was really old, so it would like yell back at Harry saying, don't send me there. Like, use him, we can afford to lose him. I wonder
that
how
that would help
like...
me.
Is anyone a chess player?
No.
Any of us?
I know.
Shelby, you strike me as a chess player.
Absolutely not. No, I have no clue how to play chess.
It's pretty much the one thing that Ron is good at, but Hermione isn't, which they think is good for her. And I like how wizard chess is kind of occasionally brought back in. I mean, it features really prominently in the first book, but sometimes it'll just be like, oh yeah, like Ron was playing chess with somebody, or Harry and Ron were playing chess while Hermione was working on something. So that's a nice little thing.
While Hermione was doing the real work, the boys were playing chess.
Right. Listen, Ron Weasley needs some sort of creative outlet.
He needs a lot more than that.
That's all that he has. Let Ron have his fun time. Everybody needs a thing,
I guess.
That's definitely his thing. Another wizarding game is Gobstones. And so Gobstones is a game that's very much like marbles, except the balls squirt putrid liquid into the faces of the players if they lose a point.
Wizards need to stop with putrid liquids and like... things exploding in your face. Like, come on.
The 90s and early 2000s child in me thinks about Nickelodeon and slime. Oh, and like, it's kind of the same thing. I want to get slimed. I want to get shot in the face with gobstone liquid.
Do we think it's green? Do we think it's like in multiple colors? Like each gob is like yellow or green or blue and it squirts that color liquid? Or do you think it's all the same?
I only say green because of the Hogwarts mystery game. So I'm very possibly wrong on that. That could have just been like a game creator's artistic interpretation.
I never thought about the way that you just said it, Michael, because I always was like, oh, they're all the same color. But having pogs as a kid makes me believe that like everybody's gobstones are like very specific to them and probably have different weird juices and stuff.
Different putrid liquids.
Yeah. Different goo. Gross.
I feel like I'm remembering there being a solid gold gobstone set mentioned in the books. I might be pulling that from somewhere.
That is bougie, and I'm about it.
Harry totally wanted it, if so.
Harry, stop complaining and buy your solid gold gobstone set.
Yeah.
Shut up about it. Buy your stupid cauldron.
It was in Prisoner of Azkaban. It's when he was hanging out in Diagon Alley for 2 weeks. He contemplated buying a solid gold set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to analyze Harry's affinity with gold. Like, he really likes it. I like appreciate that about Harry Potter.
What's there to dislike?
Nothing. I'm just about it. I'm very, like, it's like it's something you never think about, but it's like, that's at least two times that he's wanted something that's solid gold. fucking up about it.
I think being a poor orphan, you're like, oh shit, I got that money. I could buy that if I wanted to.
Especially when he realizes that he's not a poor orphan. He's actually kind of a rich orphan. And yeah,
he's actually Harry fucking Potter.
Like, can you just think about his lifestyle? Has a solid white owl, like fanciest type of owl you can ever imagine, like solid white. Rolls up with the most fancy broomstick, the Firebolt. Has his solid gold cauldron, has his solid gold gobstone set. Like, who is this kid?
He's a rich, famous jock. I mean, honestly, he's the rich kid.
Really? Like, his fireball has, like, Gucci symbols all over it. Here he comes.
I mean, really, that's the life Draco was living. And Harry was just like, all right, I mean, I could be there. Like, I could match that, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna flex
Draco,
that hard.
Absolutely, because Draco would only buy it because, like, he knew it was cool. Harry would just buy it because he genuinely, like, enjoyed it. Oh, solid white owl? That's cute. I like that. And that's why Harry's really cool. Draco's jealous of it. Analyzed. Harry Potter figured out. Done. Continue.
So getting back to gobstones, it does have a bit of a lame reputation, which the players resent. And it's also called the Thinking Wizards Quidditch. So I guess that'd be like my game.
No, you wouldn't like getting that messy.
No, I wouldn't. I'd have like the repelling charm that Hermione puts on Harry's glasses. That's what I would put on my whole body. Like,
no, you would do the bubble mask thing that Cedric did. And just be like,
oh, the bubble head charm.
Yeah.
No, because then it could still get on his cloak.
That's true.
You could just turn. You could do like a Michelin Man bubble charm. Like, do your arms, your legs.
There's an official Gobstones Club that's part of the Department of Magical Games and Sports. So there's government sanctioned Gobstone Club. And then there's also a Gobstone Club at Hogwarts, and Eileen Prince was the president of that at one point. And there's also an American Gobstones team that was mentioned in one of the Fantastic Beasts newspapers Mina Lima created. So it mentioned an American Gobstones team competing against other countries. It went across the pond to us also.
And one thing I need to mention, because I have been getting some questions about who on earth Mina Lima is. If you do not know who Mina Lima is, they are the graphic designers for Harry Potter. So just about everything that we love was designed by Mina Lima, just to clarify.
Like all fourth level canon. Yeah, love it. So I'm getting the feeling that we probably would not play Gobstone so much.
No, I'm not allowed to play anything.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some more dangerous games. How about Exploding Snap?
These things exploding is like a lot for me.
So yeah. In Hogwarts Mystery, it's a matching game. But I don't know where I'm pulling this from, but I feel like I always imagined it being like you build a house of cards, kind of. And if you mess up, it explodes, or it could explode at any moment. And that's what makes it exciting.
I think like, that's from a video game.
Is it from one of the video games?
The Harry Potter, yeah, one of the early video games. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what I remembered it as well. So
I was trying to find the source for it, and I couldn't find that anywhere.
Maybe it's a Mandela effect. So we both remember the same thing.
I don't remember it at all, so it was probably in the video game.
I was hoping that you guys would know about it, because it's the game that I know the least about.
Mm.
So maybe we all just dreamed it up.
We all have the same false memory.
Maybe we're all in the same multiple dimension.
Then there's some enchanted muggle games. So there's self-shuffling cards. And then cards are also used in divination. So they pull out just a deck of cards and do fortune telling that way in divination class.
You are going to have the ace of spades divination.
What?
Just a regular card set of cards for divination. That's what they use. Muggle cards for divination.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like tarot cards, but like a pack of cards.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah, that's not
so
real.
Instead of having like the five of cups.
Right.
It's like five of hearts and random. Like, how do they even interpret that?
It all has meaning. It's like it all gets assigned a meaning, right?
I don't know. That sounds very silly to me. But apparently I'm the only one, because Haley and Michael were like, what the fuck are you talking about?
This is the thing that is too far for Savannah. This is where she draws the line in the fantasy world where people can fly. People can make themselves look like other people. They can be really small or really large. Things explode. But no, you cannot do tarot card readings with 52 playing cards.
It's just dumb. Like, you can use anything on earth and you're using dumb muggle cards for this? Like, it just is very silly to me.
Well, it's something that you could hide in plain sight.
Oh, is that the reason, Michael?
Are you Maybe. Trying to? I'm just speculating now. But it's like a broom. A broom is just something you can lean up against the corner and no one will suspect it. So you wouldn't want to have like a pack of occult cards in your house. You would just say everyone has playing cards. So you could use them just as an everyday item, but also do magic stuff with them.
I don't like this one.
I'm slightly confused.
We can move on then. The last event I have is the Dueling Club. So that was at Hogwarts, and Gilderoy Lockhart started doing it in 1992 after the Chamber of Secrets was opened. We only hear about one meeting, and I'm kind of assuming that it didn't continue after the first one with the snake and everything. And like the Chamber of Secrets video game for PC, like we were mentioning earlier, you could continue. Like it was like a part of the game that you could play. But I was thinking, like, wouldn't that be like a really important club to have, like to continue on as a regular thing at Hogwarts?
Yeah, and so, plus it was like a sport, right?
Yeah, like Flitwick was a dueling champion. So how do you get good at dueling if you'd never really do it at school ever?
I'm very intrigued by them saying that Gilderoy like invented the club. I don't think that that's real. Like, it had to have been a thing for him to be like, oh, let's have a dueling club. Like, I don't know if it just fell out of favor or what, but I can't imagine that he was the first person that ever did it at Hogwarts.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for him getting credit for it because I love him, but I just don't think that this was his thing.
Yeah, maybe Flitwick was too busy like directing the choir. He couldn't do duelings too.
Yeah, probably. He just had like a lot on his plate.
So that's all I had. But I think, Savannah, you have more things to talk about.
I have some stuff, too.
Go ahead, Shelby. Yay. Go first, babe.
I came in with my list, as usual.
Secret list.
My secret list.
So, the only things that you guys did not cover that I had jotted down.
I have some correction.
It's some judgment over here.
No. Listen, you guys aren't comprehensive enough. So, here I am. No. So two things I have on my list that I can see that. So two things that I wrote down. One is owl racing, which I'm not even sure what level canon that is, but it's from the Prisoner of Azkaban video game.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So fifth level canon, but it was basically you played as Hedwig specifically in the racing. And I think you might have been able to play as other owls. Generally, players have said that like, the brown owl is the one that always wins in the game. So maybe you can play as different ones. I feel like they wouldn't put a rigged game on a children's video game. It kind of doesn't make you want to play anymore if you can't win. But
I mean, after Wonder Book of Spells and Potions, I don't know that they actually were aware of that. But
I know.
They're not interested in feedback. They're going to make whatever game they want. But essentially, you were an owl and you had to fly around Hogwarts up in the air, like all over the grounds. And you had to fly through these just red rings up in the sky. And I think that it went on basically, you know, just kind of in a loop for a lot of the game. There's tons of walkthroughs and whatever that are on YouTube, and it really just looks like the same thing over and over and over. So yeah, there was that. And I also wrote down, because I am still sad that it never made it into the films or anything, I feel like we didn't get to see a lot of the Dursleys in the films. I wanted to bring up boxing. Oh, and yeah. I think that's probably one of my favorite things, is that Dudley Dursley eventually, you know, was put on a diet by like his school nurse and like trained and actually got to be like really good at boxing and was like the school champion, I think.
Yeah.
The only thing that we see is a picture of him, because I do remember seeing a photo of him in his wrestling outfit in the films.
It's fantastic. Yep. I love that one.
I forgot about that.
And they have to have some semblance of boxing in the Wizarding World, because the Weasleys made the boxing telescopes.
Oh, true.
Yeah. How much of like Muggle sports do you think wizards are aware of? Because obviously there's Muggle kids that like go to Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how much crossover there is of like weird sports that they're like, what do you mean you've never played this? Or like, you know?
Oh, well, Dean Thomas, he had the West Ham football poster on his wall.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And Ron was like, why is it not moving? I love that.
Me too. I just think it's like so fun how much like actual crossover there is, because they like they are exposed to a lot of Muggle stuff because of the kids that they go to school with.
Right.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, I love seeing posts like that on Facebook. They're like, this is called a pencil. They're actually really useful.
Yes, exactly.
Can like, we just agree that we're all just doing this for aesthetic?
How many kids came in and were like, I'm not using that quill. What are you, nuts?
But eventually they accepted plumbing, so at least they got that one.
Yeah. A long time coming there.
They got that one, thankfully.
The only notes that I had, the Niffler races that...
Hagrid.
Yes, that Hagrid had in class were one of my favorite things. I thought so funny.
That was a good thought, yeah.
And so on that vein, Shelby and I have had a conversation about this, I can't even tell you how many times, about the theory that we have around like horse races. We've had a great debate whether there would even be some type of horse race in the Wizarding World, and whether it would be with a thestral or a hippogriff. And I would love to hear anybody's thoughts on that, because I think that it's so fun.
I think that that just kind of like stems from us considering how like horse racing is such a thing in the Muggle world in the UK, that like there has to be some sort of Wizarding World equivalent. Not that I'm saying it's necessarily like if like a thestral derby or a hippogriff derby would count as like animal cruelty or whatever. There are arguments that like Muggle horse racing is like a form of animal cruelty or whatever. Yeah. So I just wonder like if there's anything like that.
I also feel like we were just really hyped about it because the idea of magical horse race hats, like Kentucky Derby hats, was probably my favorite thing that we've ever talked about. So
that's the highlight of it. Like, if we can just, you know, have everyone get together for the big hat contest where all the hats are enchanted, color changing, things flying on them or off of them. Yeah, that's what I'm all about.
That's what we were here for.
Oh my God. Can we please have a wizard hat fashion show? Like where we encourage everyone to make their own hats and we'll just like do a thing.
We also have to come up with special names for horses because you know how everybody like places bets on them and whatever.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm already calling Dib that I want mine to be Can't See Biscuit because you can't see them.
Oh my God.
Oh, die.
Fuck
Shelby. Yes. Okay, this is a new thing got to talk about.
Yeah, we're doing this.
Oh, Can't See Biscuit. Because I was going to say, I feel like hippogriffs would be more commonplace because of the negative association with thestrals. Like people are so afraid of them because they think they're bad omens.
I was saying maybe it could be like any of the winged horses, because Michael, you just said something about the Abraxans. Yeah. So like there's like
Pegasus
different kinds.
Or unicorns.
Yeah. Oh my God, I want a unicorn. Oh my God. Okay.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah, I think that would be fine. Like any kind of winged like horse animal. So thestrals would still be in it.
As long as it's a horse breed. Can't be a reptile or anything. No blasts.
Is a thestral a reptile?
Oh my God. What if you had a blast ended Scroot and it was like the Gnaws?
What?
Are you talking about Fast and Furious right now?
Two blast ended, two Scroot.
No, I've called it. Please.
Haley, it is yours, girl.
No, I called it. I want to make a hat themed on my blast ended Scroot and hot Gnaws hat.
So we're off to the beast races.
Okay, I had two more things. I have the games that were in the New York Ghost newspaper. Michael, I know that you talked about it before, but they also had Spot the Snargala, Rune Riddles, and Pygmy Puff Pelmanism, which I don't know what that means, but I'm real into it. Yeah, they were like games that they had in the back of the newspaper. So I imagine it's like crossword puzzles, but like, you know, or like a spot like Walt Where's Waldo with Spot the Snargluff, so that kind of stuff. But I really loved those. I thought they were really fun.
System of memory training.
Oh, okay. So it's like a matching game?
Yeah.
Okay, so Pygmy Puff Pelmanism is like a matching game, kind of. And then the last thing that I found, which I will put this picture, I'll put a link to it in the notes, but there was an ad in one of the magazines or newspapers, I assume, that Mina Lima had come up with that says Romanian beast climbing, fun for the whole family. And it looks like you're rock climbing down the side of this like giant beast. and I just thought that it was so funny. The craze that's rocking the Wizarding World.
Oh my gosh. See, there's me.
There's Haley parkouring off
there's
the
my
side
sport.
Of
yep. We found it after all this time.
Parkouring off a live animal.
Yeah. Yep. City life getting you down, need a break. Try yes. a relaxing weekend, yes. beast climbing.
Yes.
The relaxing surroundings of Romania.
Yes. Yes.
I just, 100%. I don't know that that's accurate, but like, I love it. This ad is so cute.
I want to be there and I want to do that. I want to relax on this beast.
So that was our collection of things we found on Wizarding Games and Sports. Thanks so much all for hanging them. Out with us. All of them. Every single one.
I'm sure we must have missed something, but like, if we missed anything, it's not worth talking about.
So we got some really nice comments, and we're really thankful anytime you guys send us an email to holdmybutterbeerpod@gmail.com. Or leave a 5-star review with a little comment. So yeah, we thought it'd be really sweet to share one of the nice comments we got. This is from Divine, and she says, I thought I would just take a moment to thank you for doing your Harry Potter podcast. I'm in my mid-20s and love Harry Potter and always have gravitated to it during tough times for comfort. And your guys' podcast has done the exact same thing. It's so nice to put it on the background during my rough days and enjoy the fun and silliness of the Wizarding World. Thank you for sharing your passion for the Harry Potter with the world. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for that. And honestly,
and thank you so much, Divine, for this very sweet comment. It really means so much to us, all four of us, to just hear such kind words. So thank you.
It was so sweet. Haley sent us a screenshot and we all were so excited. So thank you guys so much for reaching out. We really love that you're in this community that with us and that we get to share our insane chats about canon with you guys.
This has been your favorite podcast about all things Wizarding World canon, Hold My Butterbeer. You can find us on Instagram at Hold My Butterbeer Pod and on Facebook at Hold My Butterbeer Podcast. And email at holdmybutterbeerpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.